Good morning, church family and everyone watching. I hope you and your family are doing well today on this Palm Sunday. I'd like to just get right into the message, but before we do, let's have a prayer together. Father, in Jesus' name, I'm just so grateful to be with you on this Sunday morning, and I'm grateful that I can be with all of my family and friends by way of being online. I pray and ask, Father, Lord, over this message this morning, God, there's just an anointing. May there be an anointing upon my life, an anointing upon my words, anointing, Father, upon the presentation, that when the people hear the word of God, they can receive it, that it can go deep down into their lives and their hearts. I pray, Father, Lord, there's just an anointing, Father, right there where they are at in viewing this today. I pray that, Father, your word would minister to every single individual. I pray that they are strengthened. I pray that they feel your peace and your presence. I pray, Father, Lord, that they are encouraged in every single way, and that each one, that they are whole and that they are healthy. We thank you for this day. In Jesus' name, together we say, amen. Well, today we celebrate Palm Sunday. And of course, we know it as the day that began the Passion Week of Jesus Christ. We know this is the Sunday morning which represents the triumphal entry of Jesus Christ into the city of Jerusalem. On Monday, we'll find it is where he is cleansing the temple with much zeal and passion for his Father's house. On Tuesday, we will find him teaching. He's giving some parables on rejection. The religious leaders, that is a day when they are really questioning his deity and his authority. On Wednesday, we believe it could be the moment when he is teaching the people and he's talking about the last days, as is recorded in Matthew chapter number 24. On Thursday, of course, is the Last Supper, the washing of the disciples' feet, the betrayal of when him and the disciples were in the Garden of Gethsemane. On Friday, of course, Good Friday as we know it, was the trial and the crucifixion. On Saturday, the tomb was sealed. We know Jesus in the spiritual realm, he is taking care of business. And then on Sunday was the resurrection, in which we look forward in celebrating with you next week. But when we really zero in on this week, the Passion Week of Jesus, it represents so much. We think about this, celebration, zeal, but we also see the anger, uncertainty, deception, rejection, betrayal, fear, pain, suffering, the torment of Christ, the darkness that hovered around. But we also see the truth of the gospel, and we see God's love, his mercy, and his grace. I would say this morning that for you and I and the believers, this week, these days represent the most significant days in our history. We know that when this week ended and the sun rose on a brand new Sunday morning, marking the beginning of a brand new week, the world would never be the same. This morning, what I want to do is I want to focus on that first Palm Sunday, and I want to take us to Matthew chapter 21. Now, before we begin reading together, what we find here is that Jesus has descended from the Mount of Olives, he has crossed the Kidron Valley, and he's making his ascent up into Jerusalem. And as he does so, he draws the attention of the Jews who were making their pilgrimage to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover week, but also the religious leaders that had grown to despise him. Now, many began to follow him, and the many that did, they had witnessed the miracles and the teachings of Jesus. Some perhaps had even walked with him all the way from Jericho. They saw him, and they saw the healing of the blind man of Bartimaeus. Word had spread how recently that he had raised Lazarus from the dead. The people gathering around, many of them heard and they witnessed firsthand the power of Jesus Christ. Now, as the number of the crowd increased, we see that some went ahead, some followed, and the anticipation in this moment, it just kept building the closer they came to the city of Jerusalem. So let's pick it up here, Matthew chapter 21. Let's read 12 verses and let's begin with verse number 1. Scripture says, "Now when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethphage, to the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, 'Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, "The Lord needs them," and he will send them at once.' Now this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, 'Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humbled and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden.' So the disciples went, and they did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks, and he sat upon them. Now, most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him, they were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And then in verse 10, "And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, 'Who is this?' And the crowd said, 'This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee.'" Now, church, I don't know about you, but Scripture paints a remarkable moment as Jesus enters into the city of Jerusalem, just as was prophesied, on a coat, signifying the humility and peace, but also as the king. We will find that prophecy in Zechariah chapter 9, verse number 9. What I really want you to see, though, is I want you to focus on the atmosphere. When I read this, I'm gathering that the atmosphere was electric. Matthew said the whole city was stirred up. Now, I was reading from the ESV. When you go to the New Living Translation, it says the entire city was in an uproar. The Message says it like this: the whole city was shaken. When you go to the Amplified Version, it will say all the city became agitated, trembling with excitement. So needless to say, this moment changed the atmosphere of Jerusalem in a significant manner. Now, I have to ask the question, why the uproar? Why such excitement? Why were Christ's followers so joyful and exuberant in their praise, while the religious leaders and the skeptics and the unbelievers, they were stirred as well, but theirs was more with an anxiety, with a fear, and with an uncertainty? Why? Because hope was on the horizon. As Jesus entered into the city of Jerusalem, hope was entering with him. Now, we know, you and I know this, the people had political restoration in mind instead of the spiritual redemption that would take place because of the cross of Calvary. But no matter how you look at this morning, no matter how you view what was on their minds, you have to see that when Jesus showed up, hope showed up as well. This day, on Palm Sunday, as I speak to you in the moment in which we're going through as a nation together, we need a word of hope. We need a message of hope. And what better day, this Palm Sunday, this day to you and I, it represents hope. It represents the hope of Jesus Christ. More than anything today, more than anything, I pray right where you're at, in your living room, maybe you're on your front porch or your back porch, wherever you're viewing this, I pray that you feel the hope of Jesus Christ in a very tangible and rich way. Because when Jesus shows up, he changes our lives. Now, think with me concerning the days leading up to this first Palm Sunday. The spiritual and the political climate during this time, it was pretty heavy. And it was filled with a lot of darkness. We know that when we read in Scripture, these days were not easy for the people. And when word spread about Jesus coming to the city, we see that things began to change. Now, even though horrific events would unfold, because Jesus was going to be betrayed, he was going to be arrested, he's going to be tortured, and he's going to be crucified. For this moment when he's entering into the city, hope was genuinely felt. And we know the rest of the story because hope wins out. We know that hope wins out in all things. May I say to you once again today, hope in Jesus is the best avenue to take. I know that the days may seem gloomy and dreary. I got to tell you, I thank God for the days where we've had some sunshine in between the rainy days and the cold days, because that sunshine means a lot. But I know that many of our days, especially within our souls, they may seem a little bit gloomy and a little bit dreary. The hours may be long and wearisome. I pray that you're finding the best opportunity to spend time with your family. Maybe you're getting some projects done around the house. But at the same time, just with this heaviness that we feel, I know that the days can get pretty long. The uncertainty may just be a little bit overwhelming. The circumstances surrounding us, I know for many, it still strikes fear, it still strikes anxiety, and I just pray that God's peace is upon you to help remove that so your hearts and your minds will be guarded. And I know the atmosphere right now, it may just be incredibly somber and heavy, but I got to tell you on this Palm Sunday, thank God for Jesus Christ. Thank God that in Jesus Christ, we always have hope. hope, no matter what we are facing in our lives. Especially today among this coronavirus, we've got to put our minds on Jesus. We got to put our minds on things that are excellent, things that are praiseworthy, things that are powerful. And when we do that, we're going to find that hope rising up within our lives. Jesus truly brings us hope. Even for those of us that are really just down and out, I want to tell you, if you'll put your mind on Jesus Christ, you will feel that hope beginning to rise up in your spirit. There's many incredible scriptures that we can go to, and I want to take you to several of those. Psalm chapter 33, verse number 20 says, "We put our hope in the Lord. He is our hope, and He is our shield. In Him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in His holy name. Let your unfailing love surround us, O Lord, for our hope is in you alone." We can go to Psalm chapter 42, verse 11. And the writer, he asks a question and then he answers himself. He says, "Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad?" But then his answer, "I will put my hope in God. I will praise Him again, my Savior and my God." Because when the psalmist did that, he realized that his spirit was well, that his soul was well, that his mind could be in a good place, and he felt himself being lifted up. Psalm 62, verse number 5 says, "Let all that I am wait quietly before God, for my hope is in Him. He alone is my rock. He is my salvation. He is my fortress where I will not be shaken. My victory and honor come from God alone. He is my refuge, a rock where no enemy can reach me. Oh, my people, trust in Him at all times. Pour out your heart to Him, for God, He is our refuge." You can continue on in the psalm, Psalm chapter 78, verse 7. "So each generation should set its hope anew on God, not forgetting His glorious miracles and obeying His commands." Psalm 94, verse 19. "When doubts filled my mind, your comfort gave me renewed hope and cheer." Can unjust leaders claim that God is on their side? No, they cannot, but we know that God is on our side. And when we look to Him, again, He speaks to our heart. He speaks to our mind. His presence fills our lives in such a rich way, and He gives us a genuine hope. Psalm 119:81 says, "I am worn out waiting for your rescue, but I have put my hope in your word." Again, that reminds me of when the days feel really long. I know that most of you out there, your mind, your heart is on Jesus Christ. But even so, the days still get long. You still feel that heaviness. You still get worn down just quite a bit. But that's when you say, okay, I'm not going to give up. I'm going to continue to put my hope in Jesus Christ. Psalm 146 and 5. Joyful are those who have the God of Israel as their helper, whose hope is in the Lord, their God. We go over into Paul's writing in Romans. Romans chapter 12, verse 12 says, "Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying." And church, that's what we have to do today. When we think about Palm Sunday, and when we think about what that meant for the people then, we have to look at what it means for us now. And what it means for us now is that we too have a hope in Jesus Christ, that we too can believe with a genuine heart and know that God is on our side, that Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, that His goodness is all upon us, and that when we just look to Him, we know that He will guide us in every step, that His presence will be with us every single day. I pray today, every single one of you, every single moment will feel Jesus Christ guiding your lives, feel His hand upon your lives. Now today, as you view this, I pray that your mind, your heart, the very inner being of your spirit is being filled with the hope of Jesus. But not just any hope, a hope that is eternal, a hope that is everlasting. Yes, I want the hope of Christ now to get me through the season in which we're in, but when this season is over, because this season is going to come to an end. But when we come to an end of this season, I want that hope to continue to rise up. I want to live in that hope. I want to walk in that hope. I want to hope that Jesus Christ is with me every single day in every single thing that I do, from my spiritual life, my physical life, my finances, my home, my family, my relationships. I want to walk in the hope of Jesus Christ, but I also want to walk with an eternal hope that this what we're walking in now, this is not the end of the story. The end of the story is someday we are going to rise again and we are all going to be with Jesus Christ. So today on this Palm Sunday, I pray that you feel just that genuine hope of Jesus Christ. I pray that is a hope that is giving you strength, a hope that is giving you power, a hope that has given you an inner peace, and a hope that is overflowing in your life. Now, first and foremost, as I get ready just to pray over you, I pray that every single one of you that is watching, that you know Jesus Christ and that He is your Lord and Savior. And I also pray for every single one of you that you will not allow the hour that we are in to get the best of you. And lastly, I pray that you're able to inspire others, others in your family, others in your home, whether it's through a phone call, whether it's through social media. I pray that you're able to inspire others to find their hope in Jesus Christ as well. Church, I want to tell you, today is not the moment to give up. I know the next few days are probably going to be pretty rough. If we listen to our president and our national leaders and our state leaders, they tell us that the next couple of weeks are going to be pretty difficult. Now, I'm praying that all that just begins to change. I'm praying with each day that the numbers decrease. I'm praying every single day that this coronavirus, that it will pass. But I want to tell you, today is not the moment to give up. Today is not the moment to give in to fear. Today is not the moment to allow uncertainty to overwhelm you with anxiety. Today is not the moment to do nothing. Today is the day to shout and to sing your victorious song. I go back to our text. What were the people shouting? The ones that went ahead, the ones that went behind, the ones that were all gathered together as they walked together and entered into the city of Jerusalem. What were they shouting? They were saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." I pray today on this Palm Sunday, wherever you're at, you can lift your hands to the Lord and you can give your praise to Jesus Christ. And you can truly put all of your hope in Him. I know for me and my family, just like yours, there's a lot of things in which we face right now. A lot of areas of our life are disruptive. I've got a daughter getting ready to have a child. She's not even certain if her husband's going to be able to be in the hospital room with her. And when she thinks about that, that's pretty overwhelming. I think about many of our students. They were thinking about graduation. They were thinking about all the year-end activities. I think about all the different things that our families had planned and how their lives have been disrupted. I think about how this coronavirus has impacted many of our families directly. How some of our families have lost a loved one to this. I think about all of our first responders, our doctors, our nurses, our firemen, our policemen, everyone out there trying to help protect us. I think about all the things that are going on right now, and I know with all of that, wow, there's just a lot of emotion. I know for me personally, every single day when I wake up, I'm putting my mind on Jesus. But I got to tell you, there's sometimes during that day, you just feel that heaviness. And I've got to step back and I say, okay, God, I need your strength. I need your help. And I know that's all of us. We're going through so much. So I pray right now on this Palm Sunday, as you hear this word, as it comes alive inside of your heart, I pray that you can really think about the moment when Jesus stepped onto the scene. Because when he stepped on the scene and he walked in Jerusalem, it was changing. Everything was about to change. And I pray right now in your home, right where you're at, when you think about Jesus, Jesus in your life, Jesus in your home, Jesus in your family, I pray that you understand that he protects, he provides, he takes care of you, and that, wow, he can change whatever is bad, he can change it into something good. And that's what we're going to put our focus in. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. Our hope is in our Lord and in our Savior. I pray that every single one of you will be able to say, Jesus is my Lord, he's my Savior, and my hope is in him. I want to pray over you before I go today. And I want to pray Romans 15, 13. Paul writes this. He says, I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Father, I pray. I pray for my church family, and I pray, Father Lord, for everyone viewing. I pray in the name of Jesus that each one would look to you this morning. I pray that no matter the emotions in which they have going on right now, no matter what's happening in their lives, Father Lord, no matter what is before us, I pray that every single one will be able to put their hope in you. And as they do, I pray that, Father Lord, they are strengthened within. I pray their heart is guarded. I pray their mind is guarded. I pray that every single day that peace is renewed. I pray that every single day they are able just to rejoice in you, that every single day they find themselves, God, just being lifted up with your power and with your presence. I pray, Father Lord, over my church family and my friends. I pray, Father Lord, for anyone who's been directly impacted with this virus. I pray for healing. I pray for life. I pray for wholeness, God. I pray your provision and your protection, Father Lord, over each and every one. Father Lord, on this Palm Sunday, we are so grateful for you. We're so grateful for your love. We're so grateful for what you endured on our behalf. We're so thankful for the way in which you love us with an unfailing love and such an amazing grace. We love you so much. Father, may you be with my family. May you be with my friends. I pray that, Father, the days ahead, that, Father, Lord, we just continue to look to you. And in this, Father, Lord, we see the work in which you are doing. I love you. I praise you. I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Family and friends, we love each and every one of you. We certainly miss you. We look forward to the day when we can gather together back in the house of God. But until then, be safe, be strong, and keep walking with Jesus. Love you guys.